Commence au festival.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Take 127 on Ship Full of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, www.sfob.co.uk. Here we are again. You'll never guess who's with us this month. She's back. It's Jo. Hello, Jo.
Hi, you're right. I'm back again. Yes, yeah, sorry. I've been away. I've been really stressed out, but here I am.
Nice hello. Of you to join us. Good to have you back. To the left, we have the engineer. The producer, it is.
Hello, I'm Mark Lancaster. I thought you were going to say my name then, and you just like threw me then.
No.
Because I have trouble remembering my name most days.
And over to the right, we have the one and only, thank heavens, it's Mike. So I thought I'd say your name for you, because last time you struggled a little bit.
Hello, peoples. I'm here.
Nice to see you. Right. We're not actually going to be talking about three specific movies. We haven't got a theme, per se. We're going to be doing something a bit different. I'm going to hand you over to Jo.
Well, we are extremely excited and feel very privileged to have someone with us. Well, we're lucky enough in Southend to have a film festival, which is pretty amazing, really. So we have with us the director. Is that the official title?
Festival director, yes.
Festival director. I'm going to hand you over to... I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Oh, my name's Paul Cockgrove. I'm the festival director for the Southend-on-Sea Film Festival. Here I am on the ship full of bombs. It's nice to be on the ship again. And hopefully we'll have some planes sailing today. But, I guess I'm here to tell you all about the delights of our festival.
Exactly. And to fill everyone in and get people excited about it. I mean, it always does pretty well, but, you know, if we can maybe educate a few more people about it and make sure it keeps going, I think that would be great. And I'm looking forward to finding out what's happening this time.
Because you were on Daryl Eastley's show, weren't you, a few weeks ago?
Yes, I was on that about 6 weeks ago now, I think.
Is it 6 weeks already?
Yeah.
That's
time flies.
But now we've got you.
And now this is the in-depth.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be groomed. Am I?
Yeah. Oh, maybe the grilled apart. It's not that kind of show.
Don't spoil it.
No, sorry. All right, yeah, fine. Don't get us on a tangent about anything that's slightly salubrious or like, because it just won't stop.
No, absolutely.
So here we are. I guess the best thing to do is to kick things off because I've forgotten, even though I haven't interviewed you before. If you tell me about how the festival came about and how, you know, you start to give us a bit of festival history, because it's not an easy thing to achieve.
No, and funny enough, it wasn't something I set out to do. Basically, my whole working career has been in the film industry in various jobs. And then about 10 years ago, I'd had enough of working in Soho and quite frankly, other places around the world. And I've always lived in Hadley, Benfleet, and travelled to London, 25 years of 5 hours travelling a day, whatever, minimum. And so I decided to try and see how I could just carry on my career where I live, really. And along with another chap, we used to run the Lee Film Society. And we set our company up originally. We were going to take over the top part of the old ABC New Empire Theatre. We were going to put two art house cinemas in there and a bookshop and a bar. And
oh, God, I wish you had done that.
Yeah. You can blame the theatre company below for that, because they fell out big time with the landlord who evicted them, then asked us to take it over. We were a brand new company. There's no way we could take on a whole theatre. And sadly, that was the end of that. Moving on from there, we formed the company, The White Bus, and because between us, all our backgrounds in film production, film exhibition, We started looking for a new venue, and then Southend Borough Council contacted us and said they'd heard about us and they wanted to start a film festival in Southend, and could we do it? And I've worked on festivals. I used to work for the British Council Films and Television Department in London. Part of my job was advising certain films for festivals around the world. But I'd never thought of running one myself. And when I thought about it, I thought, actually, this is a logical conclusion to all my career, really. Everything I've worked in. Ironically, I was working in film distribution just before I left London to work local. And so, yeah, the funniest thing was the council said to me, can you do a festival? And I thought about it for 2 seconds and said yes.
And then it would seem relatively simple, I guess.
And bearing in mind, this was probably February, and I said, he said, good, because we want this 1st of May. And I said, what, 1st of May next year? And they went, no, 1st of May this year. This was 9 years ago. And well, you know, I was up for a challenge. And I just rang around everyone I knew in the film industry. We got the world premiere of the film Shifty with Danny Mays.
I love that film.
I got the cast and crew to the Odeon, and it all took off from there. I think that's a short reply. I don't know.
That's a perfect reply. And then, I mean, what was it like? So that initial festival, do you have numbers on like how much it's grown and how many in the schedule? Like, what's...
Oh, good God, yeah. Well, I mean, sadly, the first year, which was funded by Southend Borough Council Tourism in those days, it's not any longer. It's totally a white bus event. The council just supports us with promotion and stuff like that. In the early days, the festival was on so fast that the town didn't know there was a film festival taking place, which was a bit soul-destroying. But as it's built up, we're now looking at around about 5,000 filmgoers a year. It's the largest... I mean, we're recognised by the... We get funding from the British Film Institute, festival funding. They love us. We're one of the smaller festivals, but out of the whole country, we're recognised as... a worthy supporter of British independent film. We're certainly the largest festival in Essex, Suffolk and Norfolk.
Yeah, so, that's great.
And, you know, then you'd have to go in, probably the East End Film Festival in London would be the next one to us.
Mm. And so, because I know when I've interviewed you before, it's always a struggle to get funding. Is that less of a struggle now the BFI seem...
Oh, don't go there. it gets harder every year. If it wasn't for our fantastic sponsors at a festival, there wouldn't be a festival.
It's so annoying, isn't it? It's that someone should just, hey, people, come and be a proper sponsor of this amazing festival.
Yeah. I mean, funding-wise this year, because it's getting harder and harder, we got cut by 3,000. And you know that really hurt. That really hurt. But we've cut. No one would notice how we've cut back. But mainly on PR and marketing a little bit, because we've been going long enough now to know that. You know, we're still sending out 10,000 brochures. We're still working hard on social media. We've been putting vinyl banners up today. But you know, we've just had to cut back a little bit. Obviously, if there's anyone out there that wants to sponsor next year, get in touch.
Yeah, come on. What about that lovely guy that's doing the grand? He seems very kind and up. No, sorry. he wouldn't even give me 50 quid for the panto. And then, so tell us a bit about like who else is involved with you. It's not a lot of people doing the festival, is it? It's still two of you?
Oh no, there's hundreds of us now.
That's what I mean. It's amazing. Like this.
No, basically, I work on the festival, or two festivals, because I do Horror on Sea as well in January. The two festivals is a year's worth of work. Yeah. In fact, it's 2 years worth of work in 1 year. And as we build up towards the festivals, I've just got a fantastic, wonderful team of volunteers. Probably 30 volunteers in different. You know, doing different stuff. Some of the technical guys from the college help tech-wise. And then, obviously, I pay... There's key staff that I pay on the festival. But, yeah, so it all comes together a month before the festival. Up to then, it's just me, I'm afraid.
Well, I think it's pretty impressive, yeah. Actually, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so this is 9 years.
9 years, yes.
Been going. What have the attendance figures been like? Has it stayed steady? Has it risen? Because I know that you've had some sort of changes of venue, and now the Palace, the Parking Palace are involved a lot, aren't they?
They are indeed. And I must say that without the Parking Palace, there wouldn't be a South End Film Festival, really, or a Horror on Sea Film Festival. Mm. They are so supportive. Mm. Figures went from very low, obviously, in the first year, and then they grew and grew. I reckon last year we probably was up about another 500. Mm. This year, because of the fringe events, I'm expecting numbers to be even higher. Mm. As I say, we're heading towards 5,000. That's probably not 5,000 people, but, you know, when you look at how many people are seeing films, it's 5,000 people watching different, or 5,000 seats, would you say? Yeah, yeah, let's call it seats. Mm. But, it's, you know, the festival is growing as fast as I need it to grow, really. I think it's pretty popular, and I don't want to grow it any make it any bigger. It'd be impossible, and I think it would lose its charm, really.
Mm. Yeah, it probably suits Southend, doesn't it, the way it is. But then next year will be 10 years, won't it? So it's to do something extra special. It's exciting.
Oh, 10 years. Yeah, if I'm still alive. Okay, I'll give you an exclusive tonight, because I did promise you this. Next year... Okay, let me give you a backtrack a little bit. We're called The White Bus. The White Bus is named after a film that was made by the film director Lindsay Anderson, who was a kind of maverick film director, British director.
Films.
Yeah. This Sporting Life, IFO, Lucky Man.
One of my favourites. It's a brilliant film.
Well, you're going to like what I'm going to say in a minute. So we're called The White Bus. It's named after a film that Lindsay Anderson made, and that's another long story which I won't bore you with now. And also, I'm the secretary to the Lindsay Anderson Memorial Foundation. So I meet up with all the actors and people. Anything that comes out to do with Lindsay Anderson has probably been through our foundation to get people to talk on the man, stuff like that. So next year is our 10th anniversary. Our opening gala is going to be a cast and crew reunion of the 50th anniversary of IF.
Wow.
And I'm actually talking with Malcolm McDowell at the moment. I know Malcolm because through the foundation. Malcolm at the moment wants to come from LA to Southend.
Wow. Better than we go there. He gets some jelly deals when he's down there.
Between LA and Southend,
But it's going to be great. Focal Point Gallery in Southend have already committed to a full-on exhibition on IF. Okay. They're going to be working with the Stirling University that have got the Lindsay Anderson archive of everything he had. So Focal Point are already committed. They're going to be showing all the early works of Lindsay Anderson, all the short material we've done. We're talking about showing The White Bus, which is a fantastic film, on their big screen outside the Forum. This is such early days, but at the moment, my main thing, and literally only yesterday I was in touch with Malcolm, working on 2018. Yeah, so everyone who knows the film are getting very excited about this. So
Well, thank you for that. That's
amazing.
That's an amazing exclusive. Well, do you think this is a good point to stop and have a wee bit of music?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's let you rest your voice.
We chose some music from films from the festival.
Yeah, I've got one queued up. So
shall we go for that then?
It's a film that was, I think it might have been premiered at the film festival a few years ago. How We Used to Live, Paul Kelly's.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Stanley and Travis film.
Elbra,
yeah. On the soundtrack, I actually asked the question that day. And I just said, you know, will the soundtrack ever be coming out? I think it was Pete Wiggs there that day? I can't remember.
No, just Travis. I can't remember, actually.
Paul Kelly was there, I think.
He
said, watch this space. And then about 6 months later... on Heavenly Records, which was St Etienne's label, they released 500 copies of the vinyl, and I got one. And they go for about 150 quid now.
Wow.
Which is because they're so rare. But so anyway, Pete Wickes Wrote the Music is this fantastic film. It's my favourite film I've ever seen at a festival. It's just amazing. But this is Sarah Cracknell, and this track's called Ready or Not.
Early in the morning, near his luxury home, Mickey Most goes on his regular morning training run, shaking off the stresses and strains which come with the glamour of his lifestyle.
I saw you from across the street, called to your friends. I haven't seen you smile all week. I know something's wrong. I went and bought another book. I'll lend it to you. Maybe we should get some food. I don't think you should be alone. This is the morning of another day, and you kiss another dream away. You're off to fight the cause in your own time. You're always trying to change the rules. I know something's wrong. I got myself another job in the same town. Me and Scott, we got engaged.
Well, there we are. So what was that again, Mark? That was...
Yeah, that's Sarah Cracknell, Ready or Not, and that's from the film How We Used to Live.
Mm.
Which was 2014, I believe.
Lovely.
Fantastic.
Which is, if you get a chance to watch it, it's out on DVD, watch it, because it is just one of the best documentaries about London I've ever seen. It's amazing.
Oh, hang on, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I just realised, sorry, I watched it for Suffolk.
I've got it at home. It's one of the many, many films I've got at home that I've bought and thought, I really need to watch that, and it's just sat on the shelf.
Yeah. You
and the collection just gets bigger and bigger, and I don't seem to.
You can get the soundtrack on CD. It is available more readily than the vinyl copy. Mm.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Let's get on with it. Nice to be back.
Sorry. Back to you.
Stop talking. So now this is exactly what we should talk about, isn't it? Let's talk about what films are going to be on in this year's festival. And what I would like to know, actually, which I'm fascinated by, is how you select them. Hmm. And how that is a... I'll let you talk.
Okay. Again, like I say, it's a year's worth of work. I'm lucky enough to be invited to various film screenings in London. Because of our reputation now, filmmakers contact me, send me their films. I've got, I know a lot of sales agents, so lots of people send stuff in. That's mainly for the new stuff, the wraparound films like the World Cinema. It's all down to knowing, you know, it's that key thing, knowing your audience. I don't put films on for empty seats. I go to great lengths to analyse every year what was popular, what wasn't popular, because every area is different. I mean, you could put a film festival on in Basildon and what they'd want to see may totally be different to what would work at Southend. Not that, I mean, people from Basildon do come to Southend. All I'm saying is, it's funny how an area will change. And I'm open. I really, you know, I've got my own love with my own type of films, but I'm totally unbiased because at the end of the day, I'm putting the festival on for people to enjoy the festival. Mm. And it's not about me. It's about what I can do for them. World Cinema is always popular at the festival because... it just doesn't travel down here anymore. You know, people have to go to London to see, some really lovely films. And if you look at most of the stuff on at the festival, it would have all won awards at either Cannes or Berlin, you know. So it's nothing too way out, really. It's just stuff I know that people want to see. And it's the only time of the year they can see it. So, and then of course I get lots of wonderful other bits and pieces, which I'll probably tell you about in a minute. If you don't bring it up in your favourite events of the festival, but it's certainly weird and wonderful. And that's another great thing about doing it at the Parkin Palace Hotel is the freedom to just to do what we want. I mean, maybe we'll talk about the closing gala. I think that's going to be something else as well this year.
Well, why don't you tell us about the opening and the closing while we're on the subject?
Talking about, you know, how things come along. So normally each year I would open the festival with a brand new British independent film because that's where I used to work and that's where I feel a lot of festivals are not doing enough of these wonderful films. However, this year something came my way which was almost too good to be true, and that was two sackloads of Kurzel footage that was shot by the owner of the Kurzel in the 1940s and 50s. This footage was found in the owner's house in their basement, and it got discovered about 15 years ago, and then the BBC rushed down to Southend, done a massive programme on it, said, you know, this stuff is really amazing, it's never been seen before, blah, 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 and there's lots more. And then the footage completely disappeared. And that's why we're calling it Lost Films of the Kurzel Southend-on-Sea. Mm. Last year, just by sheer accident, someone helping deliver brochures to shops met an old lady, and she said, you'd do the white bus, and he said yes. And she said, well, my husband wants to sell his film collection. Very elderly man. And lo and behold, he had all this Kurzel footage in his own collection. And it transpires that what happened is the minute he found out these builders had these two sackfuls of film, 6 hours worth, I may add, he went down with a roll of money. They bunged him the films. He shot off with the films, and everyone kept quiet. And
I love that. That's the perfect way to get it.
Anyway, they're in our hands. We had 2 days of running every film. Basically, I kind of selected all the juicy stuff, all the really great material from these films, a lot of it in colour. And we've now, and that's what's going to open the festival this year. It's going to be just over an hour's worth of all this footage of the seafront, the Kurzel, the pier, that life going on, trains, a lot. And we're going to have live piano. It's silent, so my good friend Adam Rammett is going to bring a piano along, and he's going to play live to the silent footage of these lost films.
Brilliant.
I think that's so that cool. That's such a great... I'm definitely going to come along. And then perhaps you should say for people that don't know, because I guess the great thing about when you can buy tickets, you know, unlike bigger festivals where you have to... It's quite hard to get a ticket to the opening and closing. But you can buy tickets and you can be on the red carpet and you can have drinks reception. That's all part of it, isn't it?
Yep.
Which is really nice for people.
We have 100 tickets that we put on sale to the public, and that means that they can put their black tie on, come along and mingle with Ray Winston, and it's quite boozy. we have a pre, you know, once you've got your Willy Wonka ticket for the gala night, you can go to the pre-drinks reception, go up the red carpet with everyone, have your picture taken on it, and then afterwards there's an after show party at the Parkin Palace Hotel. So I know I'm organising it, but I don't think that's a bad thing for Southend.
No, I think that's really nice as well, and that's good because, you know, sometimes I think the film industry can be a little snobby and exclusionary, and it's really nice that people can just be a part of it and, you know, get a ticket, support the festival, and there you go. You feel like you're a part of it. I think that's really nice.
I may add, we are repeating the films at the festival because we know that it's going to sell out. The gala night, I mean, I think we've got 30 tickets left, and they're going to 26. They're going to go pretty quick. So we're repeating the show at the festival, but it won't have that feel good. It won't have that atmosphere that you'll get at the Odeon, because it will be in the Parkin Palace Hotel on a big screen, but it won't have the live piano. It will have music, but it won't be the live piano. You won't have Ray Winston introducing it, telling you his memories of being a kid growing up in Southend. So, you know, the gala night is... We've created... There's more. There's another short film about Southend in the 50s that we're showing. There's going to be a world premiere of a brand new British short film. You know, we've created it as a purely unique night. So if you're not there, if you don't get that ticket, it'll be great seeing it back at the parking, but it won't be the same as the gala night.
And of course, this isn't the first time that you've had lost films in the festival. Famously, when was it? Was it a couple of years ago now? The Peter Sellers.
Three years ago. The lost films of Peter Sellers.
Oh yes, yeah. I do remember that. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Films that were found in a skip.
Oh my God.
It's always skips and build, isn't it, where these things turn.
It is.
Something
it
so
is.
Precious just like could easily just been never found. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. The Sellers one, I mean that was crazy. We went global with that story. I was out in Canada. I went out to Niagara on the Lake Film Festival just to introduce them out there, which doesn't happen. I wish that happened every year, but sadly it doesn't.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, that sounds like a really
It was.
And then do you want to talk about what's the closing gala?
Closing gala, well, we've got the world premiere of 2 short films, one made by someone called Cass Pennant, or produced by Cass Pennant. Some of you might know him as a...
Is he about a football violence, by any chance?
do you know what? I mean, obviously, that's Cass's background.
That's Cass's background, yeah.
Well, he was
ICF Cass Pennant.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, yeah. Top boy. I remember seeing him at football back in the day.
There's even a feature film called Cass all
there
around.
Is. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've heard of that film.
Yeah good film.
Oh, right, okay. So he was like top fug, was he?
He was one of the top boys of the ICF.
He was
the
leader, wasn't he?
One of them, yeah.
What an accolade. Yeah.
However, this day, you couldn't meet a sweeter man. He's he dedicates his life to... I mean, he goes to prisons now talking about, you know, don't follow my path. And
oh, that's
stuff
so
like
good.
That. But he's now becoming quite a good producer. and we've got a film called Cat for Jesus that he's just produced. It's a short film, and he's coming along to introduce it at the festival. And that stars an actor called Darren Kent. He's a local. Do you know Darren at
all? I feel like I do, yeah.
Yeah. And the other short film with Shane is called Meadow Lane, which, because Darren's an actor, but he's also a director. So Darren stars in Cassie's film, and then we're showing Darren's film he's directed. But the main film for the closing gala is a film called Amsterdam. And it's directed by the Lennox brothers.
Oh, wow, okay.
Lee and Wayne Lennox, who really are mainly famous for their music videos. They've worked, you name it, they've worked with them. I think they worked with Madonna and everyone. They're leading sort of directors in that field. And this is their sort of feature film directorial debut. It's a really funny film. It's the Jack and the Beanstalk story, but done through, but it's around cannabis in Amsterdam. okay. And it's so funny. It's such a great film. It's one of these English films that I'm proud to be helping get into festivals, because it's done very well around the world, but no one's picked it up in the UK. And so it's going to be, and the boys are from Chalkwall, so it's going to be it's going to be a real exclusive to have it at Southend. And Wayne Lennox, and if he's listening to this, he's going all out. He wants to put a green carpet down. He wants to bring midgets small people along. He's going to build statues of giant cannabis cigarettes, or whatever you call them.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Giant spliffs in Southend.
I've never known. I don't know what that is. Can someone explain?
Yeah, we'll tell you about it later.
And also, the great thing about that, thanks to Grove and the Casino, who are sponsoring that screening, anyone who attends the closing gala go to a party in the Grosvenor.
I said you get us a free split for a minute.
That's later.
Because the Grosvenor, they're also there's a showing of Ocean's 11, isn't there?
They're showing Ocean's 11.
What do you call the bit before the opening? The fringe. Yes. Yeah. No, I noticed that, but. Wow.
So that's exciting. Yeah, I definitely want to get along to one of those galas this time. Mm-hmm. So that's good, isn't it? And people, are those tickets on sale now? It's
Basically, go to southendfilmfestival.com. Everything's on there. You just click on a film you like, you go to Eventbrite and buy your ticket. Or you can go to the Visitors Information Centre at the pier and buy tickets over the counter. So if you're local, go to the pier. If not...
Some good stuff there. I've been looking through what's on, and there's some really lovely stuff.
Should we have some more music?
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about our favourite things. As time is rapidly going, because it's too interesting. That's why. Yeah, let's have...
take you back to the opening gala there. I think we should have a bit of the Kurzel Flyers. Little does she know.
Okay, let me get this...
Excellent. Do that first, because otherwise...
We'll just fill in this gap. We're talking about you must buy tickets to the festival.
Yes. Excellent.
This is a Mike Pat Ball of Sound version.
Dropped her bikini, the one that I got her. Detergent and dropped all her clean underwear.
There we are. Mike, tell us who that was again.
Curzel Flyers, mm-hmm. Local band.
Yes.
Little Does She Know, produced by Mike Batt.
Mike Batt.
As Remember Your Womble fame.
Oh, that is a good claim to fame. Yeah. I actually really like that. I thought it was going to be awful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pure power pop.
It's nice to be pleasantly surprised. It happens so little.
Will Birch of this parish.
Yeah. Something that I'll mention, actually, just a really brief and unimportant thing. The other day, I was going through you know, you collect paperwork and old bills and all that kind of thing. I was going through that to throw a load of stuff away, and I found, and I haven't brought it with me because I thought there'd be no point, I found a handwritten sheet of paper which was my list of the things I was going to watch at the film festival, and it was from the year where you had Oil City Confidential.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, and I was just like, oh, I can't believe that, now that we're doing the show in like a couple of weeks' time with you on. But my only complaint was with it, and every single year this happens, is that I always look at what's on and I always think, maybe, definitely. I guarantee every year there are always two definitelys that are on at exactly the same bloody time. Mm. So that's my complaint. So if you could sort that out for next year.
Oh, is that right?
if you can create some kind of time machine.
I have already heard, apparently some people can't come because
Adam Ant's playing down
at the cliffs on the night as the gala night. Yeah.
Always to love him, but he's not probably not weathered well. I think you're better off at the film festival, Pete.
He hasn't got any hair.
Save it for Bananarama. They are going to be great. I am going to that. Okay, yes, but that is the case, isn't it? The London Film Festival, you're literally running from one thing to the other and sweating and missing half the film. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the half the joy of it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. That kind of, and having to miss out, you know, on certain things and make the choices and probably the wrong choice. Yeah. So let's talk about this segue nicely from that, your list, into what we are interested in. So maybe what we should do is go around the room and talk about the films that are exciting us. Yeah. Take 127. Shall I stop talking?
Yeah. Okay. There's a few I've noticed. My Feral Heart, if I want to see.
Fantastic.
A mate of mine's in that, so I want to see that. Keith Chanter. I missed it when it was previewed around. I think I was actually doing a show in here, I think, and I missed it.
You're so always in here. You're always doing a show in here.
And then there's the Sparks film,
which
Daryl's in, and Daryl Easley is actually introducing that screening, which
exciting.
Is good. And there's a couple of oldies that one I know will be treated with derision in the room, Genevieve, which I love. I love Genevieve. I think it's a brilliant film. And Jason the Summer's Day, which is, I've seen 30 or 40 times, but I've never seen it on the big screen. So I would really want to see that. So that's mine.
Very good.
Oh, okay. Surprisingly, I'm sharing a few of those choices.
Okay.
Jazz on a Summer's Day is first in my list. Yeah. I haven't seen it 40 times. I've not seen it at all.
It's amazing.
So I really do want
to. It's the best jazz concert film that there's ever been, period.
Yeah. My Feral Heart, again. Yeah. But I think that's because a lot of that was filmed locally, wasn't it?
It was in Rochford.
And that's where I was sort of born and grew up. So I thought, oh, okay, that sounds really
cool. Well, it was on Tabor Farm, so I hope you wasn't born on Tabor Farm.
No, but I'm familiar with the area, because I used to go to primary school down there. Mm-hmm. Sutton School it was. But anyway, viewers won't be interested in that. Never Turn Your Back on Sparks, totally up for that. Victoria.
Yes,
really good. That's my choice.
One which I won't be seeing because I only watched it recently, but I'm going to mention it because it is such a good film, is Mustang.
Maybe
I don't want to say too much because you don't want to give it away,
but absolutely heartbreaking and beautiful.
Yeah,
and what a film. So yeah, that would be my pick of one of my many picks of the festival. I'll pass over to you now, Mike.
Oh, blimey.
Now that we've stolen all of the films you're interested in.
Page 1-4 of my notes gone. Okay, apart from what you both mentioned, and I have got certain of the same films, but to go to different ones, A Place to Go, that interests me.
Yeah, me
not
too.
Seen it before. Brochure says a set amongst the pub sing songs and bomb sites. And you think, wow, that sounds terrific. I've never seen it, but that really does interest me. And Mike Sarn is in it, apparently, who did that Come Outside thing. Wendy Richard,
yeah.
What on earth is this? So that, you know, I'll get along to that if I can. And possibly a similar film. Well, similar. It's a documentary. Tales from Sue Puddings.
Fantastic.
I really like the look of that film. And I sort of reading it because I've not heard of it, not heard of the pub, and sort of not heard of the history of the pub. And the more I was looking it up, the more fascinating it was. And was it called The Kitchen or something?
Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, fantastic sort of. I mean, I'm not going to do a little piece on it, but it sounds fantastic. And so many bands used to play, like Kinks played there, Small Faces. And I found out that the guy, Matt Johnson, he was born there. He's raised in the pub. He's actually in the film, I think, as Talking Head.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I've got to get along to that. Jazz on the Summer's Day, I'll go with that one as well. You've both mentioned it, but it not brilliant. Seen it, really would like to.
Yeah.
So they are my picks.
Good, yes. And yes, I agree with all of those. And then I'm just going to go with girls' names because I really want to see Victoria, which is the one that's done in one take. And then Julieta, I'm really excited about because love Alma Devine. I'm really excited about this one, The Unknown Girl. That sounds interesting. And I'm going to take my little six-year-old son along to the Laurel and Hardy screening because I think that would be really magical and lovely. Yes. And if he doesn't get excited, I'll hit him. No. Exactly. I really want to get along to that opening guard as well. I think that sounds really exciting, those lost films of the Kurzel. And then lots of many, many other things, but they're the ones. Yeah, Mustang I definitely want to see. And My Feral Heart. You're right to pick those out. They sound really great. But there's not much stuff I wouldn't want to see, really.
No.
Just about ditching the kids.
I always find every year I look at what's on in the festival. Don't take this the wrong way.
No.
On the first skim through, I'm just like, right, there's not much there I've heard of. Oh. And then I start reading through the descriptions. And it's like, well, that sounds brilliant. And so I think once you delve down and you start reading the descriptions and seeing... Yeah.
Well, I think most normal people would read the descriptions and not be like, I never heard that.
But when you're trying to be a sort of pompous, smug...
Yes.
Film buff.
Right.
And then you read a big list and you're like, oh, I haven't actually heard of it. And it's a bit embarrassing. But, yeah, when you read through, there's just so much good stuff there. And I've found that, I think, every single year of the film festival, there's always something to see. Always half a dozen films at least that I end up going, yeah, okay, right, doing it.
I mean, obviously you can't show any favouritism, but it's, which are there films that you can say, oh, you're really delighted to have landed that into the festival?
Blimey, where do I start? Okay, well, I'm going pretty goosey about the gala night, I must admit, because I've heard Adam play piano and looking at some of the images, and anyone who's seen a silent film with live piano, it's something special.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful, actually.
I can't say enough on this. I just think it's going to be an absolute unique night. Tales from the Two Puddings, great. He's got connections with Southend as well. There's a band in the documentary that come from Southend in the... were from Southend in the early 60s. There's lots of connections with the two. That's great. I love all the vintage stuff because that's my real big thing. Gerry Anderson. What's unique about the Gerry Anderson event is that it's all on 16mm. It's actually on film. And some of this footage is different to the videos or DVDs you can buy now. And someone's we're setting up a 16mm projector in the Parkin Palace to show these Gerry Anderson films on the screen. So anyone who's never seen a projector, I mean, it's going to be people who've never seen a projector before, that's going to be whirring away in the background. And there's people bringing along original props from Gerry Anderson productions as well. So there's going to be a display in the foyer of Gerry Anderson.
Wow.
The Laurel and Hardy, getting back to them, Battle of the Century, the second reel of that has been missing for about the last 50 years. It was only discovered about 2 years ago. It's only had one screening in the UK, and that was at the London Film Festival last year, where the second people to show the complete Battle of the Century. And again, the second reel was only on 16mm. So we're setting the projector back up again. We're showing it on film, on the screen, and Adam's bringing the piano in again, and he's going to play live on the piano.
Oh, that's going to be so great.
So how about that?
It's cool stuff.
Those things always sell really quickly, don't they? All those sorts of things.
Tickets are selling well already, so it's good.
Yeah. When is that, the Laurel and Hardy?
Bank Holiday Monday, so that will be...
29th,
okay.
Let me tell you about a tiny little film where I just love it. It's called 40 Years Behind the Plough, and that's showing on the Bank Holiday Monday. And it's about an amateur archaeologist who goes around finding rare little flints and stuff. And it is so charming. I thought, how can I put this in the festival? And in the end, I thought, to hell with it, I am.
It's my festival. I'm going to do it.
The bloke himself, he's retired. He's in his 70s. He lives in Cornwall. And he could be on TV. His son made this documentary about his dad's obsession with flints. And it's wonderful. It's only for an hour, and you love the man. And he's actually coming from Cornwall to introduce his film at the festival. And a backstory to this, when I first saw it, I rung him up because I was so excited. I mean, I was almost tearful thinking, this is a gem of a film, absolute gem. And I said to him, you should be like, this should be shown to archaeologists. He said, they don't want to know. He said, I'm an amateur archaeologist. And he said, the snobbery in the archaeology world, they don't even want to know what I've discovered. And I thought, that's it. Anyway, Southend's proud of it. And I'm putting it off to there.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, brilliant.
So lots of good things.
Lots of good things.
I was trying to look at how much time we had, and then my brain stopped working, so did my mouth.
Well, I tell you what, we're running at 49 minutes now, believe it or not. Shall we have another little bit of music and then do a little finish up?
Okay, yeah, because I'd like to talk about future of festival.
Yes,
should we play the Sparks? Because we mentioned Sparks, or do you want to play something else, Mike?
Don't play something weird.
While thinking, 8 Rounds Rapid, maybe. Because
Play that.
They're short film supporting Tales from Two Puddings.
Ah, splendid.
So, why not?
Good choice.
8 Rounds Rapid, I like it. I do all these best introductions.
That particular film's directed by the brother of the lead singer in the band, Tony Burke.
Oh, right, okay.
Wonderful director, absolutely. It's a great film as well.
Because they're local, isn't they?
They are, well.
Yeah, they are, yeah. So. And drinking this pub quite regularly.
Do they?
Yeah.
I've seen them play a couple of times. They're great.
Okay, I can go now.
Okay, shall I introduce it again?
Do it again, I'll do your okay. Your stellar introduction again.
Thank you. And supporting Tales from the Two Puddings is a short film for 8 Rounds Rapids. I like it.
Right, Mike, tell us again who that was.
Oh, I'll put my notes there. It's 8 Round Rapids. I like it.
So, it was all right, actually. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That's fantastic.
Do you know why they're called 8 Rounds Rapid?
No.
I was told this. It's after a Doctor Who thing. John Pertwee, the demons. And it's... who's the Brigadier?
I hate Doctor Who.
Nicholas Courtney.
That's it, yes. The Brigadier. There's Lethal a little gargoyle that comes
certain
to life.
Certain type of people that watch Doctor Who.
And he turns to one of the soldiers and he says, "Chap with the wings, 5 rounds rapid." Yeah. And they like the phrase and they changed it to 8 rounds rapid. I don't know why they changed it.
Well,
there we are. That'll be of interest to someone, trust me. Somebody will be sitting at home right now going, "Oh, brilliant.
That's gold."
For you.
John, I'm going to hand over to you now.
Oh, good. So, this has been a lovely old chat, hasn't it, actually? But should we, I think, perhaps to tie it all up, apart from saying again where to buy tickets and how to buy tickets and go out and buy tickets for the brilliant festival and support it because it's so wonderful, perhaps we should just talk about... with the future of the festival, really, and what you where you'd like to see it go, other than having a full-time assistant, and, you know,
I had £1 million a year.
Because it's really important to protect it, I think, and so sponsors, rich people, get in touch at
yes, contact Paul at thewhitebus.org.uk. But no, I mean the future of the festival. I hate to say this, but getting back to what I said earlier about I'm totally, apart from some sort of seed money from the BFI, I am totally reliant on sponsorship, and it's not a nice position to be in. Sponsors are fantastic, but obviously I only need a couple of sponsors to say, sorry, Paul, we can't support the festival next year.
Yeah.
And it could be the downward slope to the end, I'm afraid. We know how to run a successful festival, and I think after all these years, I hope it continues and continues. But, you know, we keep prices low, so we encourage people to come and see film. So obviously we can't rely on ticket revenue. Ticket revenue is just a small part of the festival. The sponsors are the kings. And that's it in a nutshell. I'm in this sort of position where I'm running something that everybody wants, but you know, I just hope it can continue. And I don't really want to cut it. I don't want to make it any smaller. You know, no. I think it's
crazy that the council don't support it. I know there's no money or anything remotely interesting or creative or.
It's always the first thing to go, isn't it?
Yep.
And government cuts is the arts and things like that.
It seems mental, that anyway. I'm not surprised. But, you know...
Sorry, that was a gloomy answer. Look, I love the festival. I mean, I've steered it now for... It'll be 10 years next year, and I hope it continues. What I'd really love is some stinking rich, wealthy company that... Want to call it like EasyJet Southend-on-Sea Film Festival.
And then they
sort of take over all the pressure from me. And
other airlines are available.
Yeah, and then you can just be doing what you're good at and what you're supposed to do, which is running the festivals, choosing the film. So come on, guys. Mm. One of the big local companies, just get in there. It's a great thing to be involved with.
But for the time being, the festival is with us and it's staying, and long may it continue.
Thank you.
I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah. Yes. Brilliant.
Excellent.
So are we wrapping up? Are we saying goodbye?
I think your throat will be red raw in the morning after we've made you talk all this time.
Well, thank you for coming in to see us. It's been really enjoyable and informative, and I hope it's kind of ignited some people to go out and buy some tickets and find out all about it, because it really is a great festival and we 100% support it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Marvellous.
Bit of music to finish?
A bit of music to finish. Yeah. Mike,
I heard Mike
talk about this, so I've queued it up. So.
Okay, you can play that if you like. I was thinking of a film we didn't mention, it's also on Play Misty for me, which is a great film. And I thought we might have a little bit of Errol Garner, Misty.
Okay.
Yeah?
An excellent choice.
I love that film.
Started the Bunny Boiler films, didn't it?
That's nice and feminist, isn't it?
you can last the whole show, can you?
I think this is a good opportunity.
Women are vilified.
This is a good opportunity for us to say goodbye, isn't it?
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, bye, everyone. See you in a month.
Bye. And we'll be doing feminist films.
When it starts.